Blog Talk Radio.
For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at
347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation and black edification and black unity. This is your platform, the Star and Crescent Report. And we'd like to stop and say Happy New Year to all of you who are blessed to make it over into another year, another day, another week, another month. We like to say, you better count your blessings and thank Almighty God Allah for His mercy, because there are so many of us who did not make it, okay? So that is a blessing in and of itself. But our subject today is titled, The Year 2018 Will Bring a World of Hurt. Before I go into that, I want to say something. I was, right before the show started, I was checking Facebook, and I have a private message, I believe it is. I'm not sure what it is, but I know it told me that I had a message, so I checked it. And it was someone with one of the African names or whatever, and they were doing. Now, I want to just put this into perspective so that you can understand. The book Self-Preservation is the First Law of Nature is a direct transcription from the lecture given by the last and the greatest messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? If he coughed in it, the cough is in there, okay? So, out of the hundreds or even the thousands of people who bought the book, you had one person disappointed with the book, one. And instead of addressing the book, he addressed his disappointment with religion. This lets me know that he wanted another message. He was not satisfied with the message that God gave him. You understand? After critiquing the font size is a little big and blah, he went on to religion, different religions, and the message of those different religions. This lets me know that he came searching for something that he did not, that was not near what he needed. He did not see that he could be spiritually edified through reading God's last message from God's last messenger. You understand? This is what we do a lot of times. We are dissatisfied, and we put in our head that something has to be this way. This is something that I address all the time on this radio show, especially about these so-called Muslims. They'll read the book or read a book of the messenger or read a book, and because the perception is skewed, you understand, or because they come looking for a certain type of message, they miss the underlying meaning of the message, and they can quote the books, but yet they are empty in the meaning of the books. You understand? So I've got messages from people who say, you know, I read Message to the Black Man I Met, I read Fall of America, I read this, and I read it 100 times, and I didn't get this part unless I listened to the Star and Crescent Report. I saw that there many times, but did not understand what that meant. That is a person who was looking and realized that their perception had been skewed and they had not started analyzing the books or the writings the right way. But there are others who get it, and because you start teaching and it is something other than what they are accustomed to, and because their wisdom is so limited and boxed in, they are like the so-called, what we call pulpit teachers, the Christian preachers, who have been compartmentalized. And if regardless of the truth that you bring to them, if it is outside the scope of their understanding, their spiritual, I would say, process of what would you call it, digestion of spirituality, I should say. That's the proper word. Is it outside their means of digesting spiritually what you are talking? They will reject it, even though it's for their betterment or their health or for their progression. They will reject it because it is the unknown. And if it is the unknown and if it is outside of what I have normally accepted, then I don't want it. That is the mindset of people. But this is bringing not just you, but the entire world into a complete state of judgment. And this is the show. The year 2018 will bring a world of hurt. Because if you look around, that same mind state, that same thought, that same atmosphere is pervasive, not just in the so-called learned or elite, but it is an atmosphere of total confusion and destruction around the globe. And this is the part where the Bible teaches us that God would come in the clouds. The confusion, the people's minds not working right. The brain cells are not clicking right because it has a skewed view of reality because of the white man's world and the way he has built things and the way he puts it out there. Because you can be a learned man. Remember this. A learned woman. Remember this. And you can have all of the learning of this civilization, yet it is inferior to divine understanding and wisdom. Because this man here was built with a limited wisdom. Something was held back from him in his making. You understand? And so he can lie, 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 and lie. And you can have the truth in your hand, and if he continues to beat that lie in the media, the radio, the internet, the TV, the newspapers, the magazines, and he starts affecting the people who are, you are surrounded with. If you're not firmly rooted, your perception becomes skewed because you start feeling, even though you might not say it openly, but you start feeling isolated, and you want these friends, you want these family members, so you will start to compromise on the truth, and this has happened, and it's happening on a daily and hourly basis with people who have the truth. They start compromising on it for friendship, for false brotherhood, for false sisterhood. This is no good today, and this will bring you into a state of rejection. I didn't even mean to talk on this, but it's connected to our subject today. Because this devil, he's such a liar. He's such a deceiver that the Bible teaches us that he deceived even some of the angels of heaven. Think about how cunning, how sly this dude is. If he can deceive some of the angels of heaven, that means he is a liar on top of a liar on top of a liar on top of a liar. Is that not right? Now, if he can do that with some of the highest of learners, what can he do with the average Negro who has read some of the books from his perception? See, this is where I want to say this, and don't get offended by me, okay? Because I do it like this. I call an ace and a spade a spade. And this is why a lot of Muslims can't stomach me, because I'm not a hee-hee-ha-ha dude. I'm not with that. My mom didn't bring me up like that. My family was not like that. I'm not going to hee-hee and ha-ha just to get your brotherhood or your sisterhood. I'm not going to call around the nation begging you. And if you say something nasty about me, I'm not going to call around the nation trying to defend myself. Hell, I'm a man and I can stand on my own. You understand? But this is real. This devil, he's such a liar. And this is a thought process that it has seeped into the mentality of the so-called learned. And as I said, I'm going to get back to this. This is, brother, all of these great scholars, that Mr. Clark and all of these other people, the reason, they have great understanding, great learning, and they've discovered a lot of stuff, and they're teaching you this, and you go, but before they passed away, you treated them with so much honor, but it was something missing with their learning. Because even though they had this great education, they still processed it through the lens of Eurocentricity. Even though they rejected European domination, they still succumbed to it, not knowingly. And this is why they could not see that it was mandatory and very necessary for the survival of the black men and women here in America and the black nation around the world to separate from the cancer that has been eating away at us for 6,000 years. And this is why it takes a divine God with all power to do a divine work of a universal separation. You understand? You ain't got to tell people when this market crashed, when the white man can't provide for you no more, he's already cutting this and cutting that. When the crutches are gone, you're not going to have to force this black man and woman here in America and around the world to look at that white man over there who still has something and is laughing at you in poverty and hurt and using his enforcements to beat you down and keep you suppressed. You're not going to have to force them to look at him as he is. They're going to see him clearly, right? The book tells you about that day when that man of sin is revealed. So evidently he's under a veil at this moment, right? But it takes something to pull the curtain, the sheet, or the blinders off for you to see. Therefore, we're in a position now, here, today, and we're watching a complete undressing of the empire. We're watching a complete manifestation of the man of sin. Look around the world. If you look to Africa, who's starting the trouble there? Huh? And always saying that they're fighting for freedom, justice, and equality, and democracy. Huh? Talk to me. Look in South and Central America. Who's got those brothers divided? Talk to me. When you look at the Caribs, the Caribbean I'm talking about, who is suppressing and oppressing and occupying those nations? Even though they're called nations, they're still under the rule of Britain, France, and America. Huh? Look in Asia. Now that there's a so-called breakthrough in relations with South and North, I'm talking about the Koreas, and there was an agreement given that war games would be suspended, and this is all that North Korea had asked from the jump, that war games stop on the Korean Peninsula. As soon as this was agreed upon, what did America do? Talk to me. She dispatched or deployed her, what they call, not an aircraft carrier. This is how arrogant she is. A super aircraft carrier to the region. And all of the headlines are talking about America has deployed a super aircraft with her gun, an aircraft carrier with her guns aimed and trained on North Korea. One misstep could lead to war. As though the belligerency is coming from the North. This is what I'm saying. His technology is such that if you read his headlines or you look at his news, you would start doing the same thing. He's a liar from the beginning, and he will make the victim become the aggressor and the aggressor become the victim. Is that not right? Let's go to the dictionary real quick. Because Messenger Elijah Muhammad titles him as a mischief maker, right? And according to Google, mischief maker means a person who deliberately creates trouble for others. Look around the world. I ask you, does this description fit America? Talk back to your brother. Does this description fit America, Europe, France, Germany? And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is why judgment is pronounced on these people. I'm gonna play a little clip here. Something about Europe and America. I'm going to play this clip here, and I'm going to address the hypocrisy. This is why judgment has to come to these people, because they are so arrogant and they always put themselves in victimhood stage, yet they are the producers and the exporters of weapons. You understand? Did Libya bomb Europe or did Europe bomb Libya? And now they're crying about, talking about savages coming to their shores. Hell, the savages the one who dropped the bombs. Brothers and sisters, I have to call it like it is and not like what you want it to be. And this alienates people from me because I'm a radioactive person. What it means is that if you are not rooted in the truth, what comes from through me, not from me, but through me, will kill all that are rooted in falsehood. And they can't stand that because the uncovering of them in their lives and their hypocrisy is something that they don't want the world to see. And, hey, and if you're around me, and you can ask anybody that deals with me, this is how I am off the air. I love you. If you're my brother, I'm your brother. If you're my sister, I'm your brother. If you're my friend, I'm your friend. But I would never sugarcoat anything to you because we're in such a crucial time that lives depend on this. We all have our faults. We all make our mistakes. But to constantly do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, is the height of insanity. You understand? The year 2018, not only will, but as we see in the news, is bringing a world of hurt. I want you to listen to this. This is not what I wanted to play first, okay? I did not want to play this first. But I'm going to play this. This is a two-minute clip because I want to address some hypocrisy. And, yeah, I see, thank you. I see Blog Talk knocking y'all off there. I see that. Thank you for letting me know that. I really appreciate that. So I can tell the others, so if they're experiencing trouble, know that it is Blog Talk. And I also want to make a correction here right now. On Facebook, I did say that it was WordPress that was blocking us out of our login. It was actually something that they use called Jetpack that did that, okay? And then the following day after we got it removed, I mean after we got past the hurdles, WordPress then did it, okay? So I just want to correct that also. But I want you to listen to this clip here. And this is them talking about the situation. Remember, Libya would play a part in the fall of America. Remember that. You heard it here first. You heard it here only. And remember that the refugee crisis that Europe is crying about was sparked with the bombing of Libya. And Muammar Gaddafi had told them that he was the gatekeeper. And they wanted to kill him because they wanted to steal his gold, his silver, wanted to break the back of the United States of Africa, and wanted to kill the gold dinar that he was trying to build. But I want you to just listen to this little two-minute clip here.
Welcome back, everyone. You're watching Press TV World News. Nai dinghy carrying some 150 refugees has collapsed, or capsized, pardon, in the Mediterranean Sea off the Libyan coast, leaving at least 8 people dead and dozens missing. Italian Coast Guard says that all the victims were female, and it rejects the Libyan authorities' account that at least 25 refugees have died. Rescue workers have so far managed to save 86 people. Search efforts are still underway for possible survivors. Now, Libya has long been a major transit hub for refugees trying to reach Europe. According to the International Organization of Migration, more than 3,100 refugees died in the Mediterranean in 2017. African policy analyst Lawrence Freeman cites overthrow of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi by the U.S. and its allies as the main reason for the crisis of asylum seekers in the Mediterranean.
That's correct, because you have two factors now contributing to this problem. One is you have the deplorable economic living conditions in many African countries that has forced people out of Galicia to risk their lives across the Mediterranean. And this will not end until these countries in Africa are economically developed. The second fact you have is that Libya was turned into a failed state in 2011 by the Obama administration in France and Europe overthrowing President Gaddafi and assassinating him. So that created a failed state now, which is being used as a major transshipment point on the Mediterranean. So we've lost thousands and thousands thousands of Africans have died over the years in the Mediterranean, and more will die until we correct these two problems.
So now look, Europe is facing an influx of African migrants. If you look on, what is the hype dude, Alex Jones, and if you look at all of these alternative media, what really happened, they are talking about these no-go zones, they're talking about these so-called Muslim terrorists, they're talking about Europe, the dimension of Europe is being changed because there's an influx of black Africans. This is what they're saying openly now. They're saying that they've got to prevent this. You the one did it. It wasn't there before you bombed Libya. See, the white man don't never own up to his mistake, and if he owns up to it, he has his fingers crossed behind his back, and he's up to some more devilment trying to cause hell elsewhere. This is the blowback effect of empire. Muslims is the Western word for Muslims, but they don't never go to the root cause of these things. Just like when they address stuff here domestically, they'll talk about crime. They'll talk about people on welfare, but they never tell you that welfare recipients are between 50 and 60-some percent white people. They don't tell you that they don't include corporate welfare, which is almost all made of white people, right? But they focus on showing you a depiction of what they want the world to see of black kids in the inner city, poor, hustling, shooting. But as I recall, there's not one black manufacturer of Smith & Wesson in the United States. No black manufacturers of ammo in the United States. And, of course, there's no black people that controls the borders, the train stations, the shipping docks, nor the airports. So if this stuff is getting into the black community, it has to have a way to get in by people who control those levels of power. But they never address these things. You see, the warped reporting. Just like what took place in Syria. And all of this stuff is connected. It's just so much because we haven't gotten a chance to talk because Blog Talk has been doing this thing to prevent this show from coming on the air. They've been doing their thing, seriously. And I commend them for the job that they've been doing. But Allah is the best knower. And I'm going to really give praise to the God for allowing us to come on air. So there was a, and I want you all, if you get a chance, there's two premium articles on the Hiram 1555 blog today. One is directly addressing what took place. This is from, I put it together in my own words from sources and plus from reporting about what took place at the two bases that Russia has in Syria. It was reported yesterday, but it actually took place a day or two before it made it to the airwaves, okay? So when they tell you something, sometimes it's a lag behind effect, okay? And these so-called terrorists had drones, right? And it was a coordinated attack on both the naval base in Tartus. I believe it was Tartus. No, it could have been Latakia. And the air base in Syria by drones. Now, there was a drone swarm that had attacked these bases. Listen to me good. America was the one, the culprit, even as the drones took place, Russian air defenses had already spotted a spy plane from the U.S. They had already spotted the drones en route to the bases long before they ever hit the base. This is what I'm telling you about, a mischief maker and a liar. See, I have to lay these things out so that you can understand what's actually going on and know that America is desperate because she knows prophecy and that she's getting ready to be pushed out of the Near East. But there must be a regional conflagration. You understand? This is why I played the Libyan thing first. This is why I'm talking about Syria now. Because if these things do not happen, the black man of America, the black woman of America does not go free, and the black nation does not get from under the colonial powers. You understand? They must be weakened by degrees from which you cannot perceive. So, there was a drone swarm, and they actually used the word drone swarm. They used those words in conjunction. Now, isn't it ironic that just last week America announced that she would be experimenting with drone swarms to overcome air defense systems? Well, isn't that ironic that that's exactly what took place in Syria? But, listen, they got a lot that they wasn't expecting. They thought that they could overwhelm and also catch the Russian air defense systems off, looking off somewhere else. But Russia had seen it hundreds of kilometers before it actually materialized. And they took over some of the drones, they crashed some of the drones, and the missiles knocked down the other drones. And what this proved to America is that they had to respect Russia's air defense system. They thought Russia's air defense system wasn't living up to the hype. And this was given to me by an insider. And now they are scratching their head. The Western people are scratching their head now, trying to figure out how, if a conflagration take place, how could they manage to override or go around, because none of the jamming signals that America was using with her so-called high-tech jammers were affecting the Russian air defense systems. And Russia had spotted them hundreds of kilometers away and was ready to do whatever they had to do. And this is why you never saw this or heard about this in the Western media, because America used what she called her proxies in there, but Russia had already known they had got wind of the plan long before that. This is a mischief maker. They want Russia gone, so they want to build those pipelines. They want to protect that lie, that cancer that is trying to expand in the Middle East. That cancer is called Israel. It is a cancer because the Middle East has gone up in flames since they imposed that regime in the Middle East. You understand? All this goes back to colonialism, doesn't it? Right? So the judgment is set. And so after things like this, America immediately, because they thought they were caught red-handed, they immediately used the deconfliction phone to talk to the Russian generals. But at the time, the Russian generals were not taking the calls. In America right now, according to my sources, America is fearful that Russia will retaliate in a massive display of power, according to my sources. Now, if that's true, it's true. If it's not, this is what was given them. So I did an article on this. I did an article, and this is why you didn't hear it. You know, every time something goes on, America tries to report it. But all of a sudden, when this took place, none of her media outlets covered this. Because you know what this was? This was an outright declaration of war. So what we're looking at is the buildup. We see the embers. We see the smoke. We see it smoldering. We don't see the fire yet. But wheresoever there's smoke and the embers are burning, when the winds blow hard on them, they burst forth into a flame that engulfs whatever is causing the friction. Is that not right? Is that not right? So we're looking for war. And America is desperate because her time is limited. And she's under such a judgment. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Economically, she's collapsing. Militarily, she's breaking. And within her own borders, she's being hit with wildfires on the West Coast. She's being hit with snowstorms in the South and the East and the Midwest, right? Earthquakes. Right? This is that prophesied scripture when it says that fire and ice would go side by side in America. This is what it's talking about. She must suffer these things. Her cities have been engulfed in flames, and yet you still don't believe that this is the judgment of America. How foolish could you be to not recognize that it's God that is behind all of these things? See, she wants you to be content. She wants you to believe that she's going to get out of what God has against her. She wants you to believe that these things are going to pass her. She wants you to believe in her more so than you believe in the word of God. And some of you so-called Muslims believe that. I hear you. I see some of you on, well, I work hard, I play hard. I do this and I do that. And I'm working this and I have this job and I retire this place. Brothers and sisters, it ain't going to be nothing for you to retire to if you don't prepare something for yourself due to the fact that the judgment is increasing and America is in the divine death throes right now. I know some of you don't want to hear this because it's glum to you, because you got it in your mind that if you do X, Y, and Z, this will happen. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When God gave his inspiration through the prophets, it has to take place regardless of whether you agree with it or not, or else you the God and he the liar. You understand? The year 2018 will bring a world of hurt. So we talked about the storms. We're talking about this. We're going to tie all of it in. Just let me. I got to touch on so many things right now. So I remember I was talking to Rashid, and he was telling me at the height of them, the fires, which some of them are still burning, that the flames were like three stories tall. He's right out there. Three stories tall. And at the same time, we were being inundated over here with rain, intense cold. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. That's a quote coming from James chapter 5, verse 6. You have destroyed many towns, cities, and people, as thou have divided the so-called Negro, one against the other. Listen closely to what I'm reading to you. I just decided to read this since I'm in this zone talking about this. You have destroyed many towns, cities, and people, as thou have divided the so-called Negro, one against the other, so Allah shall divide you and your brethren. Stop right there. Stop right there. So now we see a divided White House, and all of them are going after each other. We see a divided government where Congress is spitting at the president is spitting at Congress, and the media, the scribes, I would call them, are in confusion. They don't know which one will come out victorious because they all have a stake in the empire being maintained. But the empire is in confusion right now. They're losing friends around the world. The economic and political and geopolitical standing is in decline. And the rot is so evident at home and abroad that none can deny it. So Muhammad says, you have destroyed many towns. Listen, I want to say this right here. When I repeat something to you all, two, three, four times, I'm trying to relay something to you. That's what the messenger did. He would relay something to you all because it was of the utmost importance that you get it. It was of the utmost importance that you get this. Because there's a cause to the fires. There's a cause to the floods and the zero temperatures that you see that's gripping America and that you see in the Western world. France and Italy and all of these European nations being hit with storms and being flooded and the cold weather, and Australia sits on fire right now. There's something to this. So Muhammad says, you have destroyed many towns, cities, and people, as thou have divided the so-called Negro. Uh-oh, we got at the root cause of it. As thou have divided the so-called Negro, one against the other, so Allah shall divide you and your brethren. So as thou hast done, right, it's being done unto them. Now listen to what he says. As you have done to others, so shall it be done unto thee. Now listen to this. When the cities are set on fire, this is a sign of the end of you as a power. So we're looking at California on fire, not just in the wilderness, but cities on fire where they evacuate 5 and 10, 15 and 20,000 people. And at the same time, every time you turn on the news, there's been 60 store closings, 700 store closings. We're expecting about 6,000 more store closings, but the economy is booming. And then you look around in world news, China is challenging America's petrodollar. Russia is challenging America militarily. All of these things are connected because of her mistreatment of you and her arrogance abroad. Muhammad gives us a sign of what to look for when the cities are set on fire. This is a sign of the end of you as a power. You see that? So we're looking at signs and wonders in this great age of God being made manifest. You understand? It's beautiful to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, isn't it? Because you get so much. So this is a sign. And according to the dictionary, the word sign means an object, quality, or event whose presence or occurrence indicates the probable presence or occurrence of something else. Something regarded as an indication or evidence of what is happening or going on. Used to indicate that someone or something is not present where they should be or expected to be. Huh? Listen to this. An indication of a disease detectable by a medical practitioner, even if not apparent to the patient. Then Muhammad says, right? It was like a cancer eating away at the body of America before she was able to detect it. Didn't he tell you that? Huh? And so we're seeing the body rot right before our eyes. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the judgment still rolls on. Listen to this. Pay close attention, brothers and sisters. Blog Talk is giving me a problem, but I want you to listen to this. Hopefully they'll let me play it. They're blocking me from playing. Hold on 1 second, brothers and sisters. I guess we were too much on fire for them. Here we go.
East Coast residents are digging their belongings out of the snow as they recover from a powerful blizzard that is leaving behind brutally cold and dangerous temperatures for the weekend.
It's a freezer. It's deep freeze. Yeah, for sure.
From northern Florida up through New York City and into New England, tens of millions of people will be under wind chill and freeze warnings. In some parts of the Northeast, residents will face minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit temperatures.
We've spent enough time complaining.
But with more snow and freezing rain expected over the weekend and into early next week in the Northeast, not everyone is unhappy.
Aren't you cold out here?
No.
The first snowstorm of 2018 that clobbered the East Coast on Thursday and Friday had 70 miles per hour wind gusts and more than 15 inches of snow in some areas. In Tallahassee, Florida, residents saw snow for the first time in decades. The storm was powered by a rapid drop in barometric pressure that some weather forecasters called a bomb cyclone. The cold and snowy weather have been blamed for at least 18 deaths in the past few days, including 4 in North Carolina traffic accidents and 3 in Texas. The extreme cold caused more than 2,000 flight cancellations on Friday, but by Saturday morning, that was down to more than 600 cancellations, though thousands of flights were still delayed.
So, that's just a taste of the judgment. We're looking at signs and wonders in the heaven and the earth. You're seeing planets that are now lining up. You're seeing space debris, what they're calling space debris. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, I got another premium article on there talking about why America sent this, what they call Zuma satellite, up into space. And as soon as it reached the level that America wanted to, the rocket exploded. I'm not saying that the satellite did, but I'm saying that the rocket did. And so there's something to what's going on up there. We addressed that also in the second premium article of today, all right, about the signs and wonders in space and what Messenger Muhammad had told us to look for, and what we see going on and how it addresses the mother plane and those little planes that are going into action. Yes. So I want to just say that America, she's being gutted. She can go and fight against China. She can go and fight against Russia because all of them have what each other has. But she can't fight against God. She can't stop. She cannot use her air defense systems to stop an earthquake. She can't use her weapons and her bombs to stop rains and floods. She cannot use her F-16s to stop an intense drought. You understand? So she has no defense against the elements of nature. And she knows this. And this is what has her scared. She's scared as hell. That's why she's picking fights. She's trying to put on, this is what they call chest thumping, because she was once unrivaled. And she see her position slipping, so she's trying to thump her chest to make the people believe that she's no longer hollow. But they have looked at the rot, the systemic rot in American empire, in Western intransigence over the planet. And they have found them to be, they have weighed them, they have measured them, and they have found them to be wanting. This is a beautiful day, because you are living in a time that the prophets wish that they can live to see one day of. And the economic stench, the rot to which America is suffering, is something to behold. I want you to listen and remember what I told you about all the lies and the fanciful tales that they tell you on the media. And also remember, the alternative media has a stake in the empire remaining. Also, most alternative media, even though they may report on the injustice of America, they often always end, but if we do such and such, we can rebuild America. But if we say such and such, maybe we can prevent this. There's no preventing. There's no saving America. No torchlight. No, none of that. The judgment has been set. And for it to be changed, you would have to overpower and overrule God. Do you understand? I want you to listen closely to what Ron Paul, 20-some-year congressman and as a doctor by trade, has to say about America, the so-called great.
With his first year in office drawing to a close, the U.S. president has been talking up his economic record in typical Trump style.
Economic miracle created more than 2 million jobs.
Unemployment is at a 17-year low.
The stock market is at an all-time high.
Fantastic for the economy.
Our economy has already surged to 3% growth. Unemployment is at a 17-year low.
Liberated the American economy.
Our economy is doing fantastically well.
But one man who does not share President Trump's optimism is former U.S. Congressman Ron Paul, and he joins us live now from Texas. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. So what do you make of Trump's record? Why, in your view, is it not perhaps as positive as the figures seem to suggest? His supporters would say the stock market's going up, jobs are being created. Is that not worthy of praise?
Well, if it is, if we're all true, there's partial truth there. Things are a little bit better. If you're in the stock market and a wealthy person, you're doing quite well. But what we're forgetting here when we listen to this rhetoric of all this optimism is that there's a large segment of our population that's having a difficult time. We have two types of society here, the lower 50% and the top 10 or 15%. And the economy is doing well for the wealthy, but not for the poor. And where there is prosperity and more jobs, it depends on debt. Yes, an individual can feel very good if they have a line of credit to the bank, but eventually that line of credit runs out. We in this country benefit because we have the reserve currency of the world. We can run up a lot of debt and we can spend a lot of money. And even with that, we've had a great deal of difficulty in these last 8 years trying to get out of the recession. And I quite frankly don't believe we're really out of that recession. But believe me, we have a lot more debt. It's self-limiting. And I think before this year is out, the amount of debt that we have is going to be a great burden because interest rates are creeping up. Mm. And all of a sudden, that's going to make our budgetary problems very difficult to handle.
You went further than that in an interview recently, saying that the system is coming apart, very direct language. What did you actually mean by that? Because there are those who would disagree with you, saying that, you know, the impending economic meltdown is always coming, but the system just keeps going on, does it not?
Yes, that is true. You know, in Austrian economics, which I follow, which is quite a bit different from Keynesian economics or socialist economics, it teaches that you can see the direction of an economy and predict, bubbles, but you can't predict timing. We do know that if you have a central bank and they have credibility and that they can print money and seem to stimulate things, we know that there's a bubble coming. And I see everything we do as a big bubble. And all those QEs that we have dealt with in these last 8 years have just created a huge bubble. And everything is in excess, whether it's our military budget, our overseas engagements, whether it's the welfare state. And that bubble will come to an end. But Austrian economics say, you may know the direction of the country, but you don't know whether it's going to be tomorrow or next year. There will be some event that will pop up, and the fragility of the economy will all of a sudden become apparent, and there'll be a rush to the exits, and this has to be reversed. We will have to pay for our extravagance.
That type of breakup, as you say, it would be like what the Soviet Union experienced. What kind of comparison did you make, and why?
Well, the way I see this is in economic terms, and my understanding is that it wasn't that our military buildup in the United States that brought the Soviet system down. What happened was the Soviets were working with a system that we as freedom people and free markets saw it as totally unviable. Socialism and fascism and communism, it's not viable. And eventually, you know, it can be held together with force, but eventually it ends. And Keynesianism and deficit financing and and Federal Reserves and welfareism and the militarism, it's not viable. So I say it's coming to an end. And although I have said we're going to have a sudden cataclysmic end, which is sort of what happened to the Soviet system, it's not going to be identical. And I pointed out that it was different. There was sort of a secession movement in some of those countries left the Soviet system. And our states aren't probably going to break up, but I do sincerely believe that we will no longer be able to afford our empire around the world. So our empire that we have out there, although we don't claim ownership to it, it's a lot of money and a lot of influence, and we threaten with weapons and we use sanctions to hold our empire together. I think that's coming to an end.
So can the economy be turned around, you think, or is it just going to come to a dire end, as you say?
Well, I always wish that you could work through the system, and that's why I went into Congress, but I never had an illusion to think, oh, they're going to listen to me and I'll get some help there and we will be smart and we will quit printing the money and balance the budget and bring our troops home. No, I never expected that. It's not going to happen. No, I think the turnaround will come, and I'm optimistic on the long run because there are more people like myself who are trying to promote the ideas of liberty and sound economic policy. So no, I think the big crash will come first, and then it'll be up for grabs. I do think that we who believe in less government and the free market system, we have a crack at it, and we definitely will have to have monetary reform because it's very precarious right now, and that's why you see the dollar getting weaker, and other countries are talking about an alternative currency. That is not easy to do, but there's talk of that, and I think eventually it will come about because I think the dollar will fail.
Thank you very much for your time and thoughts this hour. Always good to have you in the program. Ron?
So, Mr. Paul, after telling you the truth, he goes and says, but I believe. See, they'll tell you the truth, then they'll throw you that curveball, right? But if you're not paying attention, you get skewed up with the lies. He says, but I believe that we can do X, Y, and Z because there are more people like me. Well, you may be sincere, but in this day and time, you are now sincerely wrong. Because the judgment has been set. There's no going back on this. Now, he says that, and he was speaking about his peers when he uses the word we, W-E. He says, we will have to pay for our extravagance. He was talking about that the chickens would eventually come home to roost for America. This is what he said. Now, when I said, you say it's racist. When I said, you say, oh, especially the so-called American Negro, the so-called Muslims are learning, oh, that's arrogance. it's just amazing to me that you don't get this. But listen, Ron Paul says that when it ends, it will be a sudden cataclysmic end. That's what he says. Okay? So we'll do a comparative analysis because, you know, the judgment means that America will be judged for her actions. The world would be judged for their actions. And this will be the end of that, what they call an old world or old world order, govern under the directions of Yaqub's people. Okay? So, according to Google, right, just dictionary.com, the meaning of a sudden cataclysmic end is a final decisive event, usually causing a disastrous end, also called cataclysm. Any sudden and violent change in the Earth's surface caused by flooding, earthquake, or some other rapid process, meaning it could be economically, it can be culturally, it can be militarily, and it can be naturally with the forces of nature. You see? Now let's go to what the word cataclysm means, because that was the root word. A momentous and violent event marked by overwhelming upheaval and demolition. An event that brings great changes. An international economic cataclysm. So, what did Elijah Muhammad say? We are living in a time in the changing of what? Worlds. The changing of what? Rulers. The changing of what? Thought. The changing of what? Peoples. There's a new world coming in and the old world going out. He says it is called a universal change. And we can bear witness that this change is not only on Earth, confined to Earth, but we see it in the heavens above when they're talking about flares, space storms, events of all of these so-called meteorites passing Earth, things that they've never seen or even thought of before, they're witnessing out in space. Why? And why are they happening now? Because we are in a universal change. What did he say about this? Let's go back. Cataclysm. See, we got to get this right. A final decisive event, usually causing a disastrous end, also called cataclysm. Any sudden and violent change in the Earth's surface caused by flooding, earthquake, or some other rapid process. And cataclysm means a momentous and violent, so this won't be peaceful. Well, if we do such and such, it'll be peace. No, 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 no. For the change to occur, there must be bloodshed. Since it was established on bloodshed, then there must be bloodshed to remove it. A momentous and violent event marked by overwhelming upheaval and demolition. An event that brings great changes and international economic cataclysm. You're going to argue with all that information? Then you'll argue by yourself. You understand? Because we lay it out clear and very concise and to the point so that you cannot say that you didn't get the clear understanding of this. So, Mr. Ron Paul gives you that, right? Now, I know you accept it from the white man. You won't accept it from me. And so, when we look at the economic situation, when we look at the political situation, when we look at the geopolitical situation in America and abroad, we can see the shaping of war. All of that, you remember there was a time when diplomacy was diplomacy, and they would hold their grudges and disagreements behind closed doors. Now that has broken out into the forefront, and everything is coming to the forefront. They're talking down each other. They're talking at each other with force and threats because we're moving towards change. And those who have been the powers and the backers of those powers must be removed from the levels of power. And how God does that, he removes the whole thing. As I often say on this show, some of you say, and I hear them, well, if we do such and such in America, then I know America is founded on racism, but if we can reach the minds of the people and do such and such, then we can rebuild this country, brothers and sisters. Cancer is cancer, regardless of how you look at it. Is that not right? Huh? And if you put a Band-Aid on cancer, does it make it other than cancer? Talk to me. If you color cancer, does it make it AIDS? Do you understand? If you dress up cancer, does it make it a cure for gonorrhea? Cancer is cancer. And the only way for safety is to isolate the cancer and then attack the cancer and destroy the cancer from the host body so that the cancer has no ability to reproduce. It is totally destroyed from the root up. And this is the only way to preserve the life of the host. How come you cannot see that in these terms here? America was built and founded on the blood of the aboriginal peoples, the red and the black man, and even to the yellow man. Therefore, she must be taken. The same way she took this nation, she must be taken. Since she took it in violence, she must be taken out with violence. And your being so-called civilized under this white man is not going to change that. He wants you to believe that if you can come up with some magic potion and you can change America. Again, I say this often on the show. This is a system, and people say, we got to remove the system. Wrong answer. You got to remove the people. The system didn't come before the people. The people thought up the system and put the system into play. And if you remove the system and leave the people, they're just going to remake what they already have. You understand? So I hope you get this in your mind. Because the year 2018 will bring a world of hurt, not just to America, but the entire global architect of white domination and supremacy. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Everywhere, near and abroad, that America has exercised domination and power, she's losing one step after another. be it Afghanistan or Pakistan or in the Koreas or in Asia, whatsoever it may be. We're looking at the fall, the decline of empire. And you might not want to acknowledge this, but Mr. Ron Paul said, we can't keep them bases. We're bankrupt. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that. He said God would bankrupt America. He said that. And her bases, she would be forced to leave her bases around the globe. What's happening? America's what? Financially and fiscally insolvent. Is that not right? That is bankrupt. And what is Mr. Ron Paul telling his people? That sooner or later, but sooner rather than later, America would have to leave the bases of empire that she has dotted around the world. Elijah Muhammad told you that. You mocked him. You laughed at him. And now the world is being brought over to see that he told you the truth. Where did he get it from? Because this wasn't a learned man of this world. Where did he get it from? He got it from a God who came to deliver you. Again, I say to you all, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you to listen to how America goes around and she starts trouble, then she pins it on everybody else. As a matter of fact, where's my fall of America? Let's go to page 115. I want to read this since it's on my mind real quick, and then we'll go to this clip. Here we are. All right. Listen to what Muhammad says. America, in trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of the earth, is one of the most troubled countries on earth today. The world has never before seen the top rulers of the land leaving their offices to visit nations abroad. This is why you see all of these secretaries of this and the undersecretary of that all across the world. He says, the purpose of these visits to foreign countries is to make peace with them after years of troubling them. America brought all of her troubles upon herself. Listen to this. She alone is to be charged with being the cause of the troubled world and people today. America loves meddling into other people's affairs. Well, North Korea cannot have a nuclear bomb on the Korean Peninsula. Hell, you don't live there. China cannot have a naval base in the South China Sea. It does not see the South American Sea. Venezuela is non-democratic. If it is, what business is it of yours? You don't live there. You understand? He says, America loves meddling into other people's affairs. She just cannot stay out of other people's business, whether they be a 2 cents worth soapbox teacher or presidents and kings of countries. America's actions fit the description of the prophecy in the Bible, the beast has eyes around about. This refers to the mechanical listening devices with which America listens in on other people's private affairs, as well as her listening in on foreign governmental affairs. This also refers to a powerful telescope. Stop right there. Now, Elijah Muhammad just told us that America had PRISM back then, in the 60s and the 70s. You just learned about it, last year, year before last, about PRISM, PRISM, the global spy network that they just had been outed a year or two ago. But Elijah Muhammad told you this. He says, America's actions fit the description of the prophecy in the Bible. The beast has eyes around about. This refers to the mechanical listening devices with which America listens in on other people's private affairs, as well as her listening in on foreign governmental affairs. This also refers to a powerful telescope. He just told you about PRISM. Right? You just got it today. He told you about it in the 60s and the 70s. Well, I tell you what. So go further. He says, America goes abroad and makes war against other people. Then she charges them with making war against her when she is the one who is guilty of the war making. Gaddafi is a tyrant because he won't let us take his gold. He won't let us bomb Africa. Mugabe is a tyrant. How dare he take the land of those farmers? Hold up. Stop right there. Rewind it. How did those farmers come by the land? See, they never addressed the root. And why is it that prior to Mugabe, 92 or 98%, I'm flipping back and forth through that, I'm not sure, but 92 and 98% of all arable farmland in Zimbabwe was owned by descendants of colonial powers. How did they come by that? Through bloodshed, right? War and genocide. But Mugabe wanted to right a wrong. He wanted to right a wrong. And for that, some of his own generals turned on him, like they did with Muammar Gaddafi, like they did with our good brother who was the president of the Gambia. When they don't bow to colonial powers, they use cancerous, dissatisfied people within your ranks to break the power of unity and bring you to the knees. Right, but God gonna bring them to their knees. He's doing it, in fact. Muhammad says, America goes abroad and makes war against other people. So she's deploying her supercarrier to the Korean Peninsula. And when Kim Jong-un gets mad and fires off a rocket, he's belligerent, he's arrogant. Mama says, then she charges them with making war against her when she is the one who is guilty of the war making. Huh? Is that not America? M.O.? Her modus operandi? Is that not America? So Mama says, the Bible says, so he's giving us a biblical picture of what we see geopolitically. The Bible says, Allah will destroy those who delight themselves in making war. So who delights themselves in making war more than America? Huh? She has hundreds of military bases, thousands even. As a matter of fact, everybody keeps saying 800 and 900, but remember when on one of these shows we went through the 2015 or the 2016 DOD report to Congress, the Department of Defense report to Congress, when they had almost 5,000 military facilities around the world. That is truly indicative of an empire, is that not right? Nobody's addressing this, but whatsoever she's exercised power, she's losing it. And as she loses it, she's looking for someone to blame. She's losing it here, so she's exciting her white patrons against black. That's her age-old trick since slavery. And abroad, she's losing it, so she's blaming everybody for her failure around the globe. Listen to this little short clip here. If we will be allowed to play it, okay? Let me say that, if.
Just a quick reminder that the U.S., of course, went into Afghanistan to remove the Taliban back in 2001. Over 2,400 soldiers have been killed since then, and around $2 trillion have been spent in the conflict. It's now known as the longest war in U.S. history. Senior political analyst and columnist Malik Ayub Sambal says Trump's move regarding Pakistan is an attempt to shift the blame for a failed war.
This is all the pressure tactics, because when the United States is completely failed in Afghanistan, so it's the time, and they are finding some lame excuses to put the responsibility of this failure on Pakistan. But Pakistan definitely have a great sacrifices in the war against terrorism. They have lost a lot of people in this war against terrorism. The diplomacy don't come through Twitter. And when something is going to decide by the tweets and not by the institutions, so then how things go forward? And at this time, I think that the United States is going to be alone in Afghanistan, because they will face very tough time, because the Taliban is already in Afghanistan, are divided into the various sections and various factions.
So she's blaming Pakistan for her failure. She says she stopped aid, which means she stopped the bribes, because Pakistan wouldn't attack the Taliban on the Pakistani Taliban Afghanistan border. Well, those people are tribes over there. And they don't recognize borders that were imposed upon them by colonial powers. So Pakistan has a lot of ties with people in Taliban in Afghanistan, right? This is a lot of stuff. 111, hold your hand up. I'll get to you in a second, okay? I will get to you. And when I get to you, please make your statement or your thoughts brief, and we will address that. But let me finish this thought here. So these people have ties to each other. Right? And so America wants to force brothers to fight each other. And when they no longer want to take marching orders from America, she stops the bribes. Well, this didn't happen in a vacuum. I want you to see this. The bribes that she cut off, she says, her foreign aid to Pakistan, because Pakistan would not attack the Taliban. That's not all the way true. And that's not at the core of what is actually going on. This happens on the foot of the announcement by the Pakistani minister that they would be considering ousting the dollar from trade and using their currency, the Pakistani rupee, in trade with China using the Chinese yuan. And they would box out America. See, this is a phenomenon that's going on all around the world that you're not hearing. And notice that every time a nation announces that, they become one who is in the crossfire of America. Do you understand? I want to continue this thought here, but let me go to this for so that they can make a brief comment, a brief statement, and we get back to this real quick. 111, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your Stop and Space family. We stand to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wally Swan.
Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. I can hear you a little bit.
What about now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah, all right, brother. When the white man sanctions somebody, she don't ever give. She ain't giving them nobody nothing but weapons, right? That's all she's giving. You know, if you don't do it, I won't give you my gun or my rifle. But she can't. She don't have gold to give anybody, do she?
Right.
She don't have any food stocks or nothing to give anybody. All she's talking about is that I will not give you a tank or an M16.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people need to tell them that to keep your M16. China got all of the money and all of the resources and all of the manufacturing product. They'll go over to China and tell a white man to shove it.
I'm like, well, Brother Rashid is actually 100% right. This is what Muhammad had addressed in the fall of America when he was talking about the decline of the dollar. When he talked about there was no sound backing, silver or gold behind the dollar, right? When he was talking about that, some of you did not understand that we've addressed that on several occasions on this show. See, Muhammad is talking. He's a messenger of Allah to us all, so he just cannot just talk spiritually. He got to address all of the ills that plague us, you understand? And all of the, I should say, the entire atmosphere, which is dominant in the world. So what he's doing, he's showing you these things, and he's tying it to prophecy, and he's giving you an understanding so when you see these things happen on a geopolitical scale or economic scale or political scale or even a cultural scale, you can associate that with what prophecy says, and you can understand and prepare for what is next to take place. All right? So, page 87. Brother Rashid hit it right on the nail with that. Listen, we'll go down. He says, but today, the currency of America is not backed by any sound value, silver or gold. The note today is something that the government declares that they will give you the value in return, but does not name what that value is. But they definitely are not backing their currency with silver or gold. This is the number one fall. And it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. See? So what is he saying? They're not backing. What were they backing it with? Weapons. This is why they're always talking about, well, if Saudi Arabia or if such and such comes here, we'll give them a billion-dollar military package. This is how you keep them in your corner. You understand? This is how you keep them trying to do what you want them to do. But now China's military weapons are just as good. Russia's are just as good or even better. And they have the gold, the silver, the resources, the political clout. We're looking at the decline and fall of what Elijah Muhammad termed the fall of America. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I bear him witness. Now listen to this. See, she's losing everywhere. She's going to come out the Near East, the MENA area, Middle East, North Africa. Hey, and we coined that phrase, and now I hear them talking about that on Press TV and on Russia Today. They listen to the show, so now they're using our acronym, MENA. Even Sputnik News reports and uses that acronym, MENA, and I just smiled. I said, all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But they're going to be pushed out of there, and they're going to be pushed out of the Far East, too. This is what he was talking about with Pakistan and Afghanistan. Matter of fact, let me play this clip here. I want you
President Trump said Pakistan better get on board with the U.S. as the administration shifts policy in Afghanistan.
Pakistan has much to gain from partnering with our effort in Afghanistan. It has much to lose by continuing to harbor criminals and terrorists. Pakistan has also sheltered the same organizations that try every single day to kill our people.
Stop right there. Isn't that ironic? See, this is what Muhammad says. She blames you for stuff she does. She's harboring and helping and redeploying and deploying ISIS all across the Middle East. And if you don't know, she's the maker of Al-Qaeda. It was Zbigniew Brzezinski, the national security advisor for Jimmy Carter, who helped bring about Tom Osman or Osama bin Laden to the forefront. And if you look at the old newspaper clippings, America praised bin Laden and the Mujahideen or the Taliban for fighting against the Soviets. And they were supplying them with training and weapons and intelligence to help bring down the Soviet empire. Right? And the same person is saying, you are harboring the Taliban. Hell, you the one made them. You the one armed them. You trained them. You put them in that position because you thought you were going to get that untapped copper, mineral, the diamonds, the gas, and the oil, and the gold. And you were wrong. So you're falling. You're even losing ties with the second largest NATO power, Turkey. Right? Let's go listen to this. This is a five-minute clip. I want you to pay close attention. This is Recep Tayyip Erdogan. This is the president of Turkey, all right? And this is being reported. I forget if it's Press TV or Russia Today or something, but I got this clip, and I want you to listen to them talking on here. Pay close attention.
President Erdogan of Turkey has lashed out at America, apparently threatening to drop bilateral agreements now.
The United States should excuse us, but the laws in our bilateral ties and the bilateral accords between us are losing their validity. I'm saddened to say this, but this is how it will be from now on.
Well, that statement was made after a Turkish banker was convicted in the United States. The guy's name is Mehmet Hakan Atilla. He is the deputy director of a Turkish state-owned bank. Who could now be...
I stopped there for a minute. I'm going to replay that. All right, I'm going to play the whole thing, but I want to address... You remember what I addressed with Pakistan, how Pakistan was dropping the dollar in trade? The same thing happened with Turkey. And even Erdogan said that there has been a concerted effort by the United States to not only instigate a coup in Turkey, but also to bring the financial system and the lira to its knees and cause inflation where the people will go into an upheaval to overthrow the government of Turkey. This is what Erdogan said, because they had replaced the dollar with gold trade with Iran. They replaced the dollar with the lira and the rubles trade between Russia and Turkey, and they replaced the dollar with the lira and the yuan trade with China. This is all, see how it's interconnected? This is what I'm telling you. If the dollar doesn't fall, you don't get free. You understand? See how all of this is prophecy? But I want you to pay close attention.
President Erdogan of Turkey has lashed out at America, apparently threatening to drop bilateral agreements now.
The United States should excuse us, but the laws in our bilateral ties and the bilateral accords between us are losing their validity. I'm saddened to say this, but this is how it will be from now on.
Well, that statement was made after a Turkish banker was convicted in the United States. The guy's name is Mehmet Hakan Atilla. He is the deputy director of a Turkish state-owned bank who could now be facing up to 30 years in prison. That's the catalyst for this, or the latest one anyway. He was found guilty of making a billion-dollar deal with Iran despite those U.S. sanctions. Turkey, though, insists the case is purely political and that the evidence was fabricated. Ali Risk is across this. He's a Middle East expert. The tit-for-tat goes on here. What do you make of President Erdogan's statement? It's a strong one. Is it going to come to anything? Will there be any tangible repercussions here or not?
This isn't the first time that the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, makes such fiery statements. We've seen such statements before, including earlier statements directed at the U.S. itself, for example, when it comes to the U.S. role in supporting some of the Kurds in Syria, whom Ankara describes as terrorists. So it's not the first time. Will it come to something? I think yes, it's very possible, because, you know, Erdogan, in the midst of his disagreements with the Americans when it comes to the Kurdish issue, when it comes to other issues, he has responded by further strengthening ties with countries like Russia and Iran. We all know about the Astana Agreement, for example.
Mm.
So bearing in mind those earlier reactions from Erdogan, might not come down to only fiery statements. It could come down to action which follows these fiery statements.
And with regard to this case, the U.S. says he's guilty. Turkey says, no, this is politically motivated. Previously, in October, Reza Zarab, a 34-year-old Turkish-Iranian gold trader, actually did plead guilty to six charges related to these sanctions against Iran. Is this chap guilty or not, as you see it? Is it politically motivated? Is there more to it than meets the eye?
Well, I mean, no one can give a clear answer to that. It could be politically motivated. It could be that this person was involved in one way or another on easing the sanctions, making deals with Iran, you know. Anything's possible. But we have to bear something in mind, I think, which is important. You do have this anti-Iranian atmosphere which is prevailing in Washington because of the Trump, what I call the Trump anti-Iranian doctrine. And so I think that further pushes in targeting anyone who could be associated with being close to Iran. If you take it from that perspective, the anti-Iranian political atmosphere in the Trump administration, that is possible. But I think that maybe something more important which we could refer to is this downward spiral we have in U.S. ties with Muslim countries in general. If you put the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia aside, look at U.S. ties with other Muslim countries, how they're further deteriorating. Look at what happened, Rhea, for example, today or last night with the decision regarding Pakistan, withholding aid from Pakistan, which is a major Muslim country. Now we have Turkey, which is another major Muslim country, where we have relations also going downwards. So we do have, I think, these important developments which show a deterioration in U.S. ties with many important Muslim countries. This, I think, we had important deterioration, with Trump's decision on Jerusalem, and now it's going downward, as I said, except for ties with countries like Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and maybe to some extent Egypt.
Yeah, just back to this case, of course, the twist here, according to the testimony of another person in this case, the Turkish president himself is being accused of authorizing this scheme of bypassing these sanctions with Iran. Is that credible?
Again, you know, I cannot certify such statements or say that they're right. Erdogan has been accused before of intervening to allow Iran to evade the sanctions. Has he indeed intervened personally to ease these sanctions or ease these restrictions, facilitate this process? You know, it is entirely possible. It could be politically motivated. It could be that he indeed was involved. But what's happening, I think, doesn't serve at all U.S. interests. I don't think U.S. interests are served well by weakening or by the deterioration of ties with Turkey, nor with many other Muslim countries with whom we do have these disagreements. So, yes, he could have been involved, but that doesn't mean that what's happening, these fiery statements, do serve the Trump administration. We already have this Muslim anger from the street, now from politicians.
Ali, we'll follow the twist and turn to this one. Thanks for your input today, Ali Riss, Middle.
Again, he says that Erdogan is known for fiery rhetoric, but sooner or later, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is what the heart of what he said, but sooner or later, they're going to move on it. And America's relations with Muslim nations has been deteriorating. He used Pakistan, right? They talk about Iran. They're talking about Turkey and how Turkey has helped Iran do this. Well, America helps England. England helps France. France helps Germany and vice versa. See, this is what I'm telling you. When you don't look at these things the way they are, you have this skewed vision. The white man thinks that he can help all of his brethren so that they can maintain power over everybody. But if you get a slingshot, a pellet gun, or a broken bottle, and stand on the corner with your brother and say, hell, if you attack him, you're going to have to attack me, then this is terrorism. How dare you stand up to the empire? How dare you stand up to white supremacy? So Mugabe has no right to defend his people. They had protests all around America. Nobody acted to invade America like they acted to invade Libya when America was gunning down people, still gunning down black youth, locking them up. Baltimore. Remember that? Yet they didn't invade America. See, this is I shall do it, but you can't. I'm the exception to the rule. I'm the one that makes the laws. and I can flaunt them at will. Muhammad says that they make retractable laws. Whenever it's to suit and to benefit you, they retract their laws. And then when it's to benefit them, they roll them down, and the Constitution is the final say-so in all government affairs. You understand? The hypocrisy of a nation, the hypocrisy of the West, the hypocrisy of the global system is ripping it to shreds because the world is waking up. And as America loses ties with the Muslim nations, and as the second largest power in NATO says that from this point on, you heard what Erdogan said, from this point on, our ties have deteriorated, and we're going to have to deal with you in another manner. That's what they said in the first part of the clip. What did Elijah Muhammad say? That Turkey would eventually fight on the side of the Muslims. Why did that white man address Turkey in the atmosphere of Iran and Pakistan and the Muslim nations that America is losing her standing with? Because they know prophecy. You don't. So when they talk about these things, this is why they didn't give Turkey air defense systems. This is why they didn't give Turkey some of their major military hardware. Because they understand, they're trying to keep Turkey in their corner as long as they can to try to blunt or push back prophecy. But it would not work. When Muhammad was asked about how will some white people survive the judgment, Muhammad responded and said, many will survive that day, but they will go back to their own like the Turkish people. They're not going to be killed because Allah told me that they would not. They've been trying to practice Islam. Though they are white people, they try to practice Islam and are Muslims. Turkey is going to turn. I don't know if this is the turning point, but this is one of the cards in it. And we're looking at the fall of American power and the fall of European domination over the continent of Africa and the Middle East. And once again, I look at you and say, with a smile on my face, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, if you have a quick comment, please get it in. It's like 3 minutes to go before the show goes off the air. I want to give you time to, even if we have to push the time back just a little bit, this will be a part, we will have a part two of this on Thursday. So, because I have so many clips that we need to address, so many things that are going on that we never got to, so many things, because I want you to understand that you're not getting this nowhere else. They're not talking about this. You have people talking, but they're really not saying nothing. And at this time, we want something that will edify our souls and prepare us for the coming onslaught of divine judgment. Because if we don't prepare ourselves properly, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, the Bible tells us that men's hearts will fail on that day for fear of what they see coming. You will be bald-headed or will go gray because of what is on his way. Prepare yourself properly, brothers and sisters. This does not mean talking about your brother or sister. If you have a legitimate gripe, confront them. Talk to them. Because this thing is going to be bad. And I remember Saladin, and I was a gung-ho brother. I remember talking to the brother. Brother, we need to go talk to these brothers. Saladin would say, brother, you can go talk to them. That's if you want to do it. I know what was given to me by the messenger of Allah, and I'm going to stand firm on this. Now, you can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I would say, well, brother, why won't we go and do this? He said, brother, listen to me. The time is over for that. And if you don't grasp the time, you can put yourself in danger. He said, you don't have to run down, beating down somebody's doors, trying to convert them or trying to teach them this. When the judgment takes place and it intensifies, they will beat down your door begging, brother, what did you tell us about such and such? What did you tell us about this? The time is quickly approaching to that day. I see it. That great wisdom from the brother stays steadfast, and I will always be in debt to that great Muslim, the great brother, who helped prepare me to talk to you, brothers and sisters. And so what I'm saying to you is that get your mind right. Get your head right. And along the way, we're going to make mistakes because it's hard to be 100% right in a 100% wrong world. But you got to strive to be upright to he who originates the new heaven and the new earth, a new world order based upon freedom, justice, and equality, and Islam as taught by the last and the greatest messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, and then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God and Savior, my Redeemer, Master Farad Muhammad, God in person, right? His messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty universal nation of Islam has for you. Until we next meet again, stay true, stay right, but above all things, right, stay steadfast and righteous. I love you all, brothers and sisters. Stay strong. Peace out. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy tears.